Okay, we're starting here by the two dots on the top of Mem Aleph Mem Aleph. Gemara is quoting what we saw in the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel yesterday, La par, ze par helm davar shel tzibur. That the word par in the Pasuk means par helm davar shel tzibur. And the question obviously is, ha b'tzibur gufei k'tiv. The Pasuk itself that we've been darshaning the whole time is found within the context of par helm davar shel tzibur. So then why would you need the word la par inside of the pasuk to tell you parlam davar shel tzibur when that is where it's found? Amar Papa mishum debai egmurei parlam davar shel tzibur yoteret ushtei klayot v'sirei avodat kochavim. Because the processing of the parlam davar shel tzibur is then used to explain how to process the sirei avodat kochavim. Both of them are brought for the same type of violation, just the sirim are associated with a violation of avodah zarah. Parlam davar shel tzibur with other violations that have been mizid bekareit and mishogegei chatat, when the Beit Din gives up an erroneous psak halacha that causes the rov tzibur to act on it. So in that case, if it's just any of the other mitzvot, it's parlam davar shel tzibur. If it's avodah zarah, it's the sirei avodat kochavim. Now by the psukim in Parshat Shlach, there's really no indication as how to process the korban, and we're going to learn that from parlam davar shel tzibur through a hekesh. The problem with that is, uparlam davar shel tzibur begufei lo k'tiv. So by the parlam davar shel tzibur, it doesn't have all the information that you need. When speaking about the processing of the korban, it says, ve'et kol chelbo yarim mimenu, v'ktir ha-mizbecha. Gives a generic statement about the chelev, the fats that need to be taken off. Doesn't indicate what fats have to be taken off and what should be included. On the other hand, in Par Kohen Mashiach, which comes beforehand, over there, it details all the chelev and the fats, the emurim that are going on mizbeach. It says, "Ve'et kol chelev parachatat yarim mimenu, et hachelev amechased al hakerev, ve'et kol hachelev asher al hakerev, ve'et shtei hakliyot, ve'et hachelev asher lehen, asher al hakselim, ve'et yoteret al hakaved al hakliyot yisirenu." So what we're saying is that et kol chelev might only include the fats, but not include the yoteret hakaved and the shtei hakliyot, which are added in towards the end of that pasuk in Par Kohen Mashiach. You wouldn't have known that by the case of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. The way that we learn it is Hekesh Ati. Comes from a Hekesh between Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur and Par Kohen Mashiach. So the source for the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shtei Klayot is Par Kohen Mashiach. Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur learns through a Hekesh the information to apply to Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. And then from Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur we have a Hekesh to the Seir, the Avodah Zarah, and in that way we learn through a double Hekesh the information. And we know there's a principle with regards to Kodoshim that Ein Davar Lameid Mehekesh, Choser Melameid Behekesh. Something that's learned through a Hekesh cannot be then taught through a Hekesh to a third item. As opposed to in Chulin, where you could have such an item, by Kodoshim you can't do that. And so this double Hekesh would fail, and therefore you would not have the information about the Shtei Klayot and the Yoteret HaKaved with regards to this sirei avodat kochavim. So therefore, itzrich lapar, l'mahavei k'man dikhtib be'gufei. So once you add in the word par there in that pasuk, creates the situation as if it's written explicitly in par halam davar shel tzibur. In the duplication of par halam davar tzibur in the pasuk, makes it that it's as if yoteret hakaved and shtei klayot are written explicitly in par halam davar shel tzibur. Once they're written explicitly in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, then you can learn from that a Hekesh to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. And therefore it will be, V'lo Havei Davar Lameid Behekesh, Choser Umlai Behekesh. And that will eliminate this problem of having a double Hekesh inside of Kodoshim. That's what Rashi says here, Bichbol Behekesho. It duplicates the Hekesh, Lameid Mimenu Yoteret, D'Lavi Hai Hekesh Sheini, Bimkom Ktiva Begufo. The double Hekesh, or the second Hekesh, makes it as if it's written explicitly in the Parshia of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. This is somewhat Rashi Lishitato, who believes that all the items that are found in the Pasuk of Basal Apar, Kasher Basal Apar, are Hukash Echad L'Sheini. And that means that, just like the word Chatat references to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim, and the word Dabur Par references to the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, that means now that you have a double Hekesh. You have the fact that this pasuk is found in the context of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur that creates one Hekesh between Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach. And then you have an additional Hekesh from the fact that it says Vasala Par is a reference to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. And that Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur will now have another Hekesh with the Par Kohen Mashiach. That duplicate Hekesh makes as if it's written explicitly in Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Once you have that, you can extrapolate it to Seir, Avodah Zarah, because then it will not be classified as a Hekesh LaHekesh, but rather as a single Hekesh from Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Gemara says, Tanya Kovote de Rav Papa. We have a braita that supports this view of Rav Papa. Vasa kasher asa, mata malomar lapar. What is the use of the word lapar there in this extraneous pasuk? Vafish and emar, because the pasuk says, vehem eviyot korbanam ishe lashem. So the pasuk they're referencing to is by the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Towards the end of that parshi over there, it says, v'chiper akoin al goladad v'nei Israel, v'nislach lahem kishgagahi. So had you ended the pasuk there, it would have been an understandable and a clearly written pasuk. Yet the pasuk continues and says, "Behem viu et korbanam ishel Hashem mechatatam lifnei Hashem al shigagatam." So that extraneous language at the end of the pasuk, they are darshaning over here. What is the extra word mechatatam and shigagatam at the end of the pasuk? And the words chatat and shugeg can both mean the sin or the mistake. Or it can be a reference to, like, chatat means the korban chatat. And similarly, the word shogeg will refer to not only the mistake, but shigagatam will refer to the korban that is brought in the mistake. And therefore, the Gemara darshins chatatam in that pasuk in Parshat Shlach, elu sirei avodat kochavim. That references to the sirim that are found there. Shigagatam ze paralam davar shel tzibur. That's a reference to paral davar shel tzibur. That creates a hekesh. Chatatam, al shigigatam, amra Torah, chatatam, arei lecha, kishigigatam. The chatat and the shogeg are going to be equated. And that means that the chatat, which is the sirei, avodah zarah, and the shogeg, which is the paralam davar shel tzibur, have a hekesh between them. And through that hekesh, we will learn the information that is true by the paralam davar shel tzibur, which has a well-documented process by which the korban is brought, and we'll apply that to the sirei, avodah zarah, which have almost no information about how they are to be processed. So now the Gemara says, Shigigatan, Mehechan Lamato. With Shigigatan, where are you getting that from? Meaning that the Shigigatan, which we're now saying is Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, where do you have the information about how to process the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur? Lo Behekesha. Didn't you learn that by a Hekesh? Now the truth is that the large majority of the information of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur is written in the Parshia, in Vayikra Dalet of Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. But we know there's some information that's missing, and that is the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shtei Klayot. This is what the Braita says, Mehechan Lamadta Lo Behekesha. Didn't you learn that information from a Hekesh from Par Kohen Mashiach? B'chi Davar Lameid Behekesh, Choserum Lameid Behekesh. Since when in Kodashim are you allowed to use a double Hekesh? If the source for the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei Klayot for Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur is from a Hekesh to Par Kohen Mashiach, how can that Hekesh now, in the Pasuk, in Parshat Shlach, take it from Shigigatam, and apply it to Chatatam. Take it from Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur and apply it to the Sirei Avodah Zarah. So, Tamar Lomar, Lapar. That's why it says Lapar in the Pasuk in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. Ze Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. That teaches you about the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. Lapar, ze Par Kohen Mashiach. That is the Par Kohen Mashiach. And that gives you an additional Hekesh, as Rashi said before, which makes it as if it is written explicitly in the context of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. That's the way we saw before. Rashi says it's a double Hekesh, so therefore it's as if it's written. Or you could say just more simply, the fact that it says Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur as part of the Drusha tells you that anything that's found in this Drusha is as if it's written here in the Psukim of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. And that way you can then extrapolate from there to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim, and it'll be a first level Hekesh, not a double level Hekesh. And that, again, is supportive of Rav Papa's explanation of the Tanna Dibei Rabbi Shmuel, to the necessity for the word Lapar to teach us about Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, even though contextually it's already found in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, to add this additional Hekesh or additional documentation of Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur to make it as if anything learned through a Hekesh is documented there explicitly in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. As now the Gemara says, Amamar, Chatatam, Elu, Sirei Avodat Kochavim. That teaches you the Hekesh between the Seir Avodah Zarah to the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So just note that Tosafot asks more generically, doesn't give an answer to this, but it's interesting that the Gemara throughout Shas calls the Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur in a singular, whereas it says the Sirei Avodat Kochavim in plural. He says, based on the Gemara in Horiot, the person who believes that you bring multiple korbanot, Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur, is the same Deya that believes that you bring multiple Sirei Avodat Kochavim. And the Deya believes that you only bring one Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur, not each Shevet, but Klal Yisrael as a whole. And similarly, he also believes by the Sirei Avodat Kochavim that you only bring one. He says, a little strange that the Gemara throughout Shas always references to the par in the singular and to the sirim in the plural. I think the possibility is that the Sirei Avodat Kochavim is a reference in Parshat Shlach to the two sirim that are mentioned there. There is a seir of the Yachid, and then there's the seir of the Tzibur. And that might be what the reference is, because in those parshiot in Parshat Shlach, it's not clear what the reference is to, that it's really dealing with this issue of Avodah Zarah. And so therefore, the reference here of Sirei Avodat Kochavim is to both of those parshiot, even though, for instance, in this context, we're only speaking about the Korban Tzibur. Nevertheless, it references the both of them. Maybe that's why it uses the plurality. Now, Gemara says, why do you need that Hekesh? Typically, Mikra Kama. Why don't you learn it from the Hekesh that we had before? Meaning that you have now two Hekeshot between Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur and the Sirei Avodah Zarah. You have that which is found in Parshat Shlach, which is V'chatatam, Lifnei Hashem Al Shigigatam. And you also have it from Asa Lapar, Kasher Asa Lapar. Because there, the par, we said, refers to the Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. And the word Hachatat references to the Sirei Avodah Zarah. So why do you need the Hekesh to be duplicated between Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur and the Sirei Avodat Kochavim? Typically, Mikra Koma. Damamar, Hachatat, Lerabot, Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Because you already have it out of the Pasuk, V'asa Lapar, where the Chatat means Sirei Avodah Zarah. So Amar Papa, Itzrich, we do need it. Sakhdat Chamina, Hani Milei Hazza'ah, Dichtivan Begufei. That would only be true about the Hazza'ot that are literally written in the Psukim by Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. Avaytera Kaved and Shtekayot, which are not, the Loktivan Begufei, they're not explicitly written in it, Emalo. Then we would say they would not be a part of the Hekesh. Kamash Malan, the double Hekesh, to tell you to even include those items. Now, what is obviously a question over here, and the Bali Tosavot raise it, is didn't we just solve that problem? We just dealt with that problem by saying Basala Par makes it as if it's written explicitly in the Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. Once it's written there explicitly, how can you say now you need another Hekesh to tell you even those things that are not written explicitly, you should carry them over? Well, if they're written explicitly, and we say it's as if it's written explicitly, then everything is written there explicitly. Why do you need this double Hekesh? The Bali Tosafot say Tema, we don't know why they have it. Vishema, they speculate. Ilav HaHekesh, the Chatatam, Al-Shigigatam, had it not been for the second Hekesh, lo havadreshin lalei hachi. We wouldn't have been Doresh the Pasuk Vasalapar to reference to Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. So what he says is that the double Hekesh tips us in favor of saying that Vasalapar, that part is Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur, to make it as if it is written explicitly in Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. And once you do that, then you can learn it because then it's not a double Hekesh. But it is the double Hekesh at first that causes us to think in those terms. And so you have the double Hekesh pushes us in that direction. Once it pushes us in that direction, we need a solution to the problem of a Ein Hekesh la Hekesh. You can't make a Hekesh to a Hekesh because you're starting with Parkoin Mashiach, the Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur, to Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Solution to that is to say the par means Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur. He says that drasha is precipitated by the double Hekesh. And you can see that in the Shittim Kubetz at Od Aleph, where at the end he says, the Havamir would have been that we wouldn't have darshan the word par to mean Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur, but rather par, like we darshaned earlier, to mean the par Shel Yom HaKippurim. But obviously that's not a complete answer or a full answer, and that's why he leaves it as Veshema. Maybe that's the way you have to deal with it. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Huna Brei the Rav Natan the Rav Papa. Rav Huna Brei the Rav Natan asks Rav Papa, V'ha Tana Par Yom Akrim D'chol Mashe Amar B'inyan Kamar. The truth is that it's not clear here what the Gemara is referencing to, what the question is on Rav Papa. So we'll read it first like Rashi reads it, which is, Rashi says it's referencing back to the Breita that we brought as support to Rav Papa's contention that the Betaval, Et, and Badam are carried over to the par Shel Yom HaKippurim. And so we brought a braita that said that Hatana par, that refers to Yom HaKippurim, the Chol Mashamar Binyan, the Kamar. So that whatever is said by the Paralam Dovah Shel Tzibur will be carried over to the par Yom HaKippurim. And even things that are not written there, things like this that are written either by Par Kohen Mashiach according to Rashi, With Rabbeinu Tam, these items, v'taval et medam, are actually written by Parham Davar Shel Tzibor. Whatever it is, we bring it over to the Par Yom HaKippurim. And we brought that bright as a support for Rav Papa. But Rav Huna, Rav Natan, is challenging Rav Papa from is, wait a minute, didn't it say there, l'chol davar, that everything that's ne'amar ve'inyan is carried over? Why then is this a proof to you? You were saying the only thing that's brought from Parham Davar Shel Tzibor to Par Yom HaKippurim is the information that relates to v'taval, et, and badam. But the way the brightness seems to be worded, it's carrying over more information. It's carrying over the information that it's that all the matnot dam are the ikuva and other pieces of information that we learned with regards to the Par Yom HaKippurim. Seems to be this brightness includes all of them in the limud. So why is this brightness support for you when it includes much more information than you are indicating to us that is carried over from Par Yom Davar Shel Tzibor to Par Yom HaKippurim? And the Gemara answers, Tanaehi, it is a machloket tanaim. Tana debe rav. Marbe Hochi. Tana Debei Rav, Rashi says, is not necessarily from the Beit Midrash of Rav, but Tana Debei Rav is a more generic term, which is called Tanu Rabbanon, Kari Tanu Bei Rav. Anytime the Gemara uses the terminology Tanu Rabbanan, it's bringing a Breita. That's what it means, Tana Debei Rav, which means that it's a Limud, a Breita, that is brought from the Beit Midrash. But it doesn't necessarily mean the Beit Midrash of Rav. Although in this context, it might be possible that it is specifically referencing the Beit Midrash of Rav, because the Breita that we're quoting is a Breita of Torat Kohanim, and the Breita of Torat Kohanim is also known as Sifra Debei Rav. And so therefore, it might actually be a reference to Rav himself, although you could argue that Sifra Debei Rav as well is also not a term referencing the Beit Midrash of Rav, but rather the Batei Midrash in general. So that would be one limud, meaning that they have a limited scope in the limud of Parasha Yom HaKippurim over here to only include those items of Taval, Etetzbo, and Badam. That's all that is bringing over. And they learn the remaining information from the other limudim that we had before, which is either equal from the word Chukah, or for Rabbi Yehuda, from Ve'im Kila Kiper. So we had these other limudim over there that are in addition to what we have over here. So those other limudim will be put together with Tana Debei Rav, which is supportive of Rav Papa by saying that you only learn V'taval, Etetzbo, and Badam from the Braita. And then Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Merabe Yochi. On the other hand, the Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel don't learn it that way. And once again here, in Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Rashi knows Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel means Shnishnate, V'nizdera b'beit midrashos Rabbi Shmuel. These are mishnayot, or brightot, that were mentioned and organized within the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Shmuel. V'sidruba tanaim harbe. It's not just memrot of Rabbi Shmuel, it is memrot of many different tanaim. Kamosh sidru Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Hoshaya. Similar to the brightot of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya, which the Gemara puts a premium on those Breita, gives them a stamp of veracity because they were collected by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya, and therefore we can challenge in the Gemara from those Breitot. But again, it's not those Breitot were all written by Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Hoshaya, it's just that they organized, they gathered those Breitot together. Similarly, Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel doesn't always mean that it came from the words of Rabbi Shmuel or the view of Rabbi Shmuel, just means it was organized in the Beit Midrash of Rabbi Ishmael. Tana de Bei Shmuel have a more broad inclusion that through this hekesh you can be merabe everything. And as the Shita Mekubeset points out, that according to this, Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the hekesh brings the chola more beinyan, even the equal of hadamim, first of all, we're going to have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the word chukah only has application for avodot that are done in the Big Day Levan, lifnai v'lifnim, and therefore you don't have an equal for the remaining damim that are done. In addition, you won't be able to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who learns out Mechila Mikaper, to teach you that there's an ikuv, and you'll have to hold like Rabbi Akiva, is Doresh Im Kiper Kila, and you'll have to darshan that in a very narrow sense to say, just like by the Chatot HaChitzonot, where you only need one Matan Dam, so too over here, you only need one Matan Dam. And for that reason, you don't have an ikuv from Hukah, you don't have an ikuv from Mechila Mikaper, and you'll get your ikuv from the Hekesh between the Parham Davar Shel Tzibor to the Par Shel Yom HaKippurim, and that's why you need the call to include the Ikuv HaDamim, because you couldn't have gotten it from these other limudim. And there'll be a machloket tanaim, and for that reason, Rav Papa is supported at least by one Tana or one Breita. So that's the view of Rashi with regards to what the question is over here. The Balei Tosafot ask a number of questions on Rashi's explanation, including the fact that before the Gemara thought that that braita was a proof to Rav Papa, now all of a sudden Rav Huna Bar Natan's coming along and saying, well, it's not really a proof to Rav Papa. How come over there the Gemara thought it was, and now all of a sudden the Gemara thinks it's not? That's the nature of the Gemara, to switch its view with regards to whether the braita is supportive or not supportive of Rav Papa. And if they did want to question it, they would have questioned it on the spot, not wait till now to question it. The Sheet of Megubetz adds in another two questions on Rashi's interpretation. First of all, he says, there's nowhere we find in Chas that there's not a Tano who believes that the Matnot of Yom Kippurim are Akev, either from the word Chukah or from the word V'chila V'chiper, who says that this Breita is talking about the Ikuv and bringing it for other things besides what Rav Papa had indicated. In addition, he says that the whole reason that the Gemara went out of its way to explain the Breita as referencing the Taval, Etetzbo, and Badam, referencing to those items, and not anything else, is because Rabbi Yehuda learned the Ikuv from Vechila Mikaper. And so the whole reason we did that was because of Rabbi Yehuda. But if you wanted to set up the Breita, and Rav Papa could agree with this as indicating more than just those three items, but including the Ikuv, he could happily have explained the Breita in that way. The only reason we didn't explain that Breita that way was to accommodate Rabbi Yehuda. So why is that a question on Rav Papa? So the Tosfot's view, rather, is the question of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Natan is on what we just discussed. What we just discussed was the fact that you need extra limudim to bring whatever it is by Parhalam Dabar Shel Tzibor over to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Natan's challenge is, wait a minute, didn't we have a Breita before that told us that everything that's found by Parhalam Dabar Shel Tzibor is learnt over to Par Yom HaKippurim. And over there, you didn't demand extra Hekeshot, or the fact that Par Yom HaKippurim has to be mentioned in the Pasuk to have a duplication in order to be as if it's written in the Pasuk. And nevertheless, you learnt about the Shtei HaKlayot and the Yoteret HaGaved from Par Yom HaKippurim over to Par Yom HaKippurim. So how come it's okay to do that from Par Yom HaKippurim to Par Yom HaKippurim? And there you don't worry about a double Hekesh. Yet over here, you're worried about the double hekesh when you're learning from the Par Helm Davish and Tzibor over to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. That's the challenge of Rav Huna Bar Natan to Rav Papa, is why are you having differentiated dinim? Why is it one way for Par Helm Davish and Tzibor to Par Yom Kippurim? And then here, you can't do that, and you have to come up with a whole new system for learning from Par Helm Davish and Tzibor to Sirei Avodat Kochavim. Which then brings you back to the fundamental question, why do you need a double hekesh over here? If it's sufficed by the fact that Parlam Davish Tzibor is mentioned in the Pasuk, in Parlam Davish Tzibor, to allow you to learn the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei Klayot to Parsha Yom HaKippurim, why isn't that also sufficient when it comes to the Sirei Avodah Zarah? Why do you need another hekesh of Chatatam and Shigigatam to lay on top of that to give you another indication that you can learn the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei Klayot from Parlam Davish Tzibor to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim? It should work just the same way that it works by the Par of Yom HaKippurim. And the answer is that by the Par of Yom HaKippurim, you're dealing with one Tana over there. I'm saying this, or this explanation here, in the Shita of Tana de Beirav. Their limud for Par Yom HaKippurim is different than that of Tana de Beirav Yishmael. By Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, they learn everything in that way. But for Tana Debei Rav, they don't learn everything out by Par Yom HaKippurim. And so similarly over here, we're not going to learn everything to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim unless we have an additional hekesh or additional reason to extrapolate this information from the Par Yom HaKippurim over to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. And then according to that Tana, you're going to need an additional limud by the Par Yom HaKippurim in order to bring over the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei HaKlayot. That's what the Balei Tosfot mentioned. V'hashu laitana, atalei Yoteret to Shtei HaKlayot, b'Par Yom HaKippurim, d'tani b'Torat Kohanim, kol chelev, l'rabot Par Yom HaKippurim, l'Yoteret to Shtei HaKlayot. That he actually has a different limud for that. Neinu achanami, you can't learn it out of the Hekesh. It wouldn't have been obvious from the Hekesh to learn over the Par Yom HaKippurim. You need an additional limud to bring the Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKaved over the Par Yom HaKippurim. And similarly over here, you need the additional Hekesh of Shigigatam and Chatatam to bring that Inyan from the Par Yom HaKippurim over to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. And then the Shita Megubetz brings a slight variation of this question, which is that if you believe that the Par that is mentioned there is not the Par Yom HaKippurim, but rather the Par Yom HaKippurim, then how do you have the information that the Yoteret HaKaved, the Shtei HaKlayot, and the Yoteret HaKaved are actually written or considered like they're written in the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor? And according to that Tana, How do you then learn the information to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim and even to the Parashah Yom HaKippurim? And the answer is, it is a machloket Tanaim. Tanahi Haitana Mepiklei Me'akasher Yuram. He learned it out of the word Kasher Yuram and not through a Hekesh. The terminology of a Kasher Yuram that's found by Parkoin Mashiach is a reboy to tell you that it also has application by the Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor, and they will consider that Kasher Yuram to make it as if it is written explicitly by Parlam Dover Shel Tzibor. And therefore, when they have the word par to mean Parshal Yom HaKippurim, they don't have Parm Shalom Davar to tell them that it's written explicitly. They'll use Kasher Yuram to make it as if it is written explicitly here. And then from there, you can extrapolate both to the Parsha Yom HaKippurim and the Se'im of Avodah Zarah. But our Tana de Beirav over here suggests that's not sufficient. Kasher Yuram is still written by Parkoin Mashiach. And even though it brings that din over to Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor, you can't consider it as if it's written in Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor. And instead, you're going to have the par not mean Parsha Yom HaKippurim, but rather par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor to make it as if it's written over here explicitly. So that's how he disagrees with Tana Debei Rav Yishmael as to how you get it explicit. Tana Debei Rav, like Rav Papa's explanation, says that it's because of the par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. And Tana Debei Rav will have to learn out the limud to Parsha Yom HaKippurim from Kol Chelev, like the Baal Tosfot said. And then Tana Debei Rav Yishmael will say that the Kasher Yuram makes it as if it's written explicitly in par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. And in that way, you can darshan the word par to reference the Parsha Yom HaKippurim, and the word chata to refer to the Sirah Avodah Zarah, and you can learn it directly from Paralam Davar Shel Tzibor, because it's not learned through a Hekesh, but rather from a reboy of Kasher Yuram that is found by Paragoin Mashiach. And then the Shita Megubetzah brings that Rabbi Tosfot Rabbeinu Eliyahu Nimtza Girsa, Vatana Chatat, Elu Sirei Avodat Kochavim, the Rabbo, the Chol Amur Binyan. And then that would be a real stira to what we're saying over here. How we have a Tana that includes everything from Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor to Sirat Avodah Kochavim, when you were telling me you need a double Hekesh to learn that information out. And then it would make the question much clearer, because then the question would be directly on what we just spoke about and referencing back to the double Hekesh versus a Braita that has an alternate view. And the answer is, it's a Machloket Tanaim as to whether you can learn everything without the double Hekesh or whether you need the double Hekesh to learn that information. And how the Gemara continues with the little Agadato, Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, Mipnei Ma Nemru Yoteret Ushtei Klayot Bepar Kohen Mashiach, Lo Nemru Bepar Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. And why is it that the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shtei Klayot are mentioned explicitly by the Par Kohen Mashiach, and they're not mentioned explicitly by the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor? It says, Mashal LeMelech Basar V'dam, it's similar, parallel to a case of a king, Shezaam Al Ohavo, got angry at his beloved, umi'et bisirchono mipnei chibato. And therefore he minimized speaking about the violation because of his love for this individual. He didn't want to dwell on the issue. The way Rashi learns this is that by Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor, what's speaking about is Ovo, is Klal Yisrael. So over there, Hashem wanted to bring the Sukkim in shorthand. He didn't want to spend a lot of time on it because he didn't want to be offensive towards Klal Yisrael. So by the case of Klal Yisrael, he minimized what he wrote. Whereas by the Parkoin Mashiach, he wrote everything that needed to be written. On the other hand, the Marsha, interesting enough, learns just the opposite way around. And the Marsha suggests over here that that's why by the Parkoin Mashiach, it spends more time on it because that is Ohavo. His beloved is the Kohen Gadol. And instead of spending time on the Chet, it spends time on the rectification. By the Kohen Gadol, where we're speaking about the rectification, there it dwells upon all the issues and adds in the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shtei HaKlayot. By Klal Yisrael, where the majority of the people have now done something wrong against Hashem, that we don't speak about Ohavo in the singular, over there Hashem didn't dwell on the positive aspects and therefore didn't write more or didn't include the Yoteret HaKaved and the Shtei HaKlayot. Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, Mipnei Ma Ne'amra Parochet HaKodesh Bepar Kohen Mashiach, Velo Ne'amar Bepar Helam Davar Shel Tzibor. Why is it that in the psukim that deal with the matnot dam on the parochet, by the Parkoin Mashiach it says, V'taval HaKohen et etzbo badam, mizamin adam sheva pe'amim lifnei Hashem et pnei parochet ha-kodesh. But when it writes that same pasuk, by the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor it says, V'taval HaKohen etzbo min adam, mizah sheva pe'amim lifnei Hashem et pnei ha-parochet. The word HaKodesh is absent over there. So why is Kodesh absent by the Parlam Davar Shel Tzibor, yet mentioned by the Parkoin Mashiach? Mashal Melech Basar V'dam, again, it's parallel to a case of a king, Shesarchalav midina, where he has a rebellion on his hands. Im mi'utas sarcha, if it's a case where it's a small part of his kingdom that is rebelling, or it's a small number of individuals that are rebelling, pamalya shelo mitkayemet, his existing supporters and his advisors are still intact, and basically his kingdom is intact with a small problem on the side. Im ruba sircha, on the other hand, if the majority of the people are rebelling against the king, im pamalyo shelo mitkayemet, his kingdom is no longer intact, or those that he confides with, those advisors that are close to him, he no longer can treat them in a manner where he is confident about his kingdom's existence. Again, when there's a small rebellion, he's confident about his kingdom. When there's a major rebellion, then he's not confident of anything anymore, and that is a breakdown in Pamayoshlo, in his rulership, or in his kingdom. And similarly over here, where the Kohen Gadol is the one who sins, that's just one individual that sinned. And therefore, the Pnei Parocha the Kodesh is still intact. On the other hand, when the Parol Davar Shel Tzibor comes, that's when the role of Tzibor did something wrong. Even though it was done B'shogeg, they still did something wrong. It's as if the majority has rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Over there, Pnei Parochet is there, but Pnei Parochet the Kodesh is no longer appropriate to be said, because it's as if there's a challenge to the Malchut of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's a diminishment in the Kedusha of the Makom, and that's why it's called Pnei Parochet and not Pnei Parochet HaKodesh. And this is what likely influenced the Marsha to interpret the previous Mashal the opposite way of Rashi. Because in this Mashal, the Kohen Gadol is viewed more favorably than the Am. And to keep it parallel, the Marsha wants to explain the previous case as also being more favorable towards the Kohen Gadol versus Klal Yisrael. There is also a Mesorah from Rav Zalman Mevolozhin, who is the younger brother of Rav Chaim Mevolozhin, who suggests that the difference is contributed by when this was true. The Parakohen Mashiach, the fact that it's called Mashiach, means that it's only when he had the Shemen HaMishkah, and that was only true in Bayit Rishon before it was put into Geniza along with the Aron. And that means that the Parakohen Mashiach is only relevant when the Aron was present during Bayit Rishon, and that's why it's called the Parochet HaKodesh, because the Aron HaKodesh was there. On the other hand, with regards to the Parakohen Dover Shel Tzibur, which has application both in Bayit Rishon and in Bayit Sheni, there were times where the Aron was not present, like at the end of Bayit Rishon and in Bayit Sheni. Therefore, it's only called Pnei HaParochet and not the Pnei Parochet HaKodesh. All right, now the Gemara goes back to the reference in the Mishnah, which is in the latter part of the Mishnah, we said that when it comes to the Matnot Dam that are done Bifnim for all the Chatot HaPnimiyot, over there we said that every one of the Matnot Dam is Me'akev. And so therefore, you can have a Machshevet Pigul in any one of the Matnot Dam, because each one of the Matnot Dam is essential to the kapara of that item. So it's not Hatam. We have a Mishnah in Menachot. It says, Pigel ba-Kometz, below b'levona. If he had a Machshevet Pigul when he was placing the Kometz from the Mincha onto the Mizbeach, but he didn't have it when he was placing the Levona, the frankincense, onto the Mizbeach. When it comes to a Mincha, there are two Matirim in order to allow the Shiraim to be eaten by the Kohanim. One Matir is the Kometz that's separated away from that Mincha. The other is the Levona that's put on top. So you have two Matirim, and if he had a Machshevet Pigul by one of them, but was silent by the other one, or b'levona, he had a machshevet pigul with the levona, b'lova kometz, but not with regards to the kometz that he was makriv. Rabbi Meir Omer, pigul v'chayin olav karet. Rabbi Meir seems to indicate that's sufficient to create pigul in this case, and you would have thought that's because he believes you can be mefagel v'chatzi matir, that even if you only have a machshevet pigul in half of a matir, that's enough to create pigul in this instance. And therefore, the shirayim that are left over would be pigol, and if someone who consumes them would be chayav karet. Chachamim armim, ein bo karet, ad shifagel b'chol amatir. And the response of the chachamim seems to be supportive of that, because the chachamim believe that you need to be mefagel in the entire matir in order for it to be problematic. Otherwise, if you're only mefagel in a chatzi matir, it doesn't become pigol. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Lo teima. Don't say time to Rabbi Meir, the Kasavar Mefagim Bechatzi Matir. Don't do what seems obvious as the position of Rabbi Meir and suggest that he believes you cannot be Mefagel Bechatzi Matir. What's the situation here? That he brings the Kometz with a Machshava of Pigul, and then he brings Lovona without stating anything. Kasavar, and this is the reason behind Rabbi Meir's position, that by default, when you're silent afterwards, we apply the machshava that you had before to the next avoda. we assume that the default machshava that you had before will now apply to the next, unless you tell us otherwise. So if you have a machshava pigul up front, then the next avoda that you do will also be covered by that machshava, unless you do something to indicate otherwise. That means that when Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah in Menachot says that you're chayav when you have a machshava pigul by one of these two items, it has to be that that's the first item. When it says you had a machshava pigul by the kometz and not the levona, it means you first had it by the kometz, not by the levona. And vice versa. If you had the machshava by the levona, it means you had the machshava first, and you put the levona on first, and then you're silent when you put on the kometz. But in both instances, the machshava pigul happened first, and then there was a silence with the second mate that was put on the mizbeach. That's number one. Number two is, Rashi makes a comment here, and I said I would note this for you throughout the Masechta. Rashi says over here, l'chol machshava de kodashim motzi bapehu. Any machshava that is mentioned by kodashim does not mean a thought, but rather means articulation. And you can see over here that if you go to Otet Vav in the Shita Mikubetzet, he references you to Rashi in Menachot on Daf Bet Amud Bet, end of the Tosfot Tivrei Matkil Kol Bet Amud Aleph of Zvachim, which is where we discuss this, as well as the Tosfot Tivrei Matkil Machshava Dalet Amud Bet, where again he discusses this issue. All of those opinions in the Rishonim seem to indicate that Machshava means articulation and not machshava itself. So now the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that's true, Reish Lakish, that Rabbi Meir's position is not premised on Mfaglim Bechatzi Matir, but rather because of Shtika, we assume means carries over whatever machshava you had before? Mirtani Lefikach, because of our Mishnah that says, Imnatan Kulam Ketikanan, if he puts all of them on properly, Achachaloketikna, and one of them not properly, Pasul, Vein Bo Karet. That's Pasul, and there's no Karet. Ha Achat, Shalok Tikikuna. On the other hand, if it was done in the reverse order, which is one of them was done improperly, Kulan Ketikanan, and then everything else afterwards was done properly, Pigul, it would have been Pigul. So what Rish Lakish is being redayak out of our Mishnah is, the order of how it's stated in the Mishnah seems to indicate why it is Pasul, and there is no Pigul. Because in the Mishnah it says that first you were Natan Kulam Ketikanan, V'chad Shalom Ketikanan. It mentions the proper Avodot first, then the improper Avoda at the end, implying that if it was reversed, that the improper Avoda was done first, and then the proper Avoda were done afterwards, then it actually would result in Pigul. Mani, who can be the author of that position? Ilema Rabbanon, if you want to suggest the Rabbanon are the authors of that position, Hamri Rabbanon, Ime Faglim V'chadzi Matir. Rabban Ari declared their position that you can't be mfagel in a chatzi matir. This is clearly a chatzi matir. If all the matnot dam are me'akev, it has to be that you have that machshava for every one of those matirim, because otherwise it would not generate pigul. So they can't be the authors of this position. Ella Rabbi Meir. It must be that it's Rabbi Meir. Meantime, the Rabbi Meir mishum de mfaglim mechatzi matir, if Rabbi Meir's position is premised on the fact that you can be mfagel a chatzi matir, afilu kedik tani nami. Even in the order that's written in our Mishnah, it should result in pigul. Because if you do any machshevet pigul in any of the matirim, that results in pigul. So that can't be his view. La mishum dekasavar. It must be because he believes, kol oseh al dat rishona hu oseh. The reasoning behind Rabbi Meir is not that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir, but rather because whatever you do is continuing the thought or the articulation that you had with the first avodah. That means in our Mishnah, when you have a proper machshava and then an improper machshava, you end up with pasul and not pigul. Whereas if you had it reversed and you had a machshava pigul up front and then the remainder you did ketikanan, we would apply or extrapolate the default machshava that you had from the first netinat dam to the remainder of the netinot dam that you do afterwards. And that would generate pigul. And that's how Reish Lakish gets this view that that is the position of Rabbi Meir. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, wait a minute, the Olam Rabbanani, I'll say to you that the Mishnah is authored by the Rabbanon. My ketikunan. What does it mean, ketikunan? Ketikunam le pigul. Ketikunam doesn't mean that you have a machshava that is proper. Either that means you're silent, or it means that you have lishma. That's not what it means. What it means is, ketikunan means like you have a tikun that would generate pigul. Because in this case, that's what the Mishnah is referencing to, that you are trying to generate pigul. So what is tikunan? Tikunan means you do it in a manner that would result in pigul. So in a case where you have a machshava that is ketikuna, which means you have machshava pigul, and then in one of them you have a machshava shalok ketikunan, which means that you didn't have a machshava pigul in that one, In that case, it'll be pasul. The Gemara says, how can you say that? Makes it sound like the language of tikunan means lachshir. So Rashi just says that the language is problematic because structurally, if you really meant that tikunan means kepigul, then you wouldn't call shtika or what you're doing right as shalo ketikunan. It's just not the proper language. It's not the proper way to express it. Because it just should have said, kulan kitikunan, chutz me'achat mehen, oh, v'achat b'shtika. To say that shalo shtika means shalo kitikuna, that language doesn't fit properly. And therefore explaining it this way is very difficult. Or you could just simply say that the language of the Mishnah doesn't seem to fit so well. Because it says there, all the matanot are me'akev, lefikach. Therefore, and then now the therefore is, if you have a machshavet pigul with all of them except one, it is pasul. That's not the way that you would set up the language. The language would have been just the opposite. The whole point is that since any one of them is makev, the fikach, therefore if you have a machshavet pigul by any one of them, it should be problematic. But the way that you're structuring it now is all the machshavot are problematic and the one is fine. That's not the type of language that you would say, lefikach, therefore. So the Gemara answers, Amarova, my shalokitikna, means literally shalokitikna, chutzim komo. Not that you're shotek, or not you have a machshevet lishma, but shalokitikuna is literally shalokitikuna. Tikuna is you have a machshevet pigul, shalokitikuna is a machshevet pasul of mechutzim komo. Ravashi amar shalolishmo, that you have a machshevet pasul of shalolishmo. That shalot tikunan means it was a chatat that we're speaking about here because we're talking about the chatot of pnimiyot. So it's a machshav of shalot lishma. But then the Gemara says you have a problem with that. Michlal dechilo avid lo achutz limkamo v'shalot lishmo michayev. That would indicate if you were silent there and you did have shtika, you would be chayav. And that certainly would not be like the shita of the chachamim because they say you can't be mefagel v'chatzi matir. And over here you're being mefagel in part of the matnot dam and then you're silent in the remainder. That's not the sheet of the Chachamim. And that diuk would cause you a problem now, and you can no longer set it up like the Chachamim. The Gemara answer is that it is parallel structure. I did a Tana Reisha Pigul v'chayim alav karet, Tana Nami Seifu v'pasul v'ein bo karet. Similar to the Reisha where we said he had a Makshev Pigul in the first Matana, and then a Makshev Chutz Limkamo in the remaining Matanot. So to over here, he has a Makshev Pigul up front, and then Makshev Shelo Lishmo, or Chutz Limkamo afterwards. In that way, it's parallel or contrasting with the Reisha. The Reisha where the only Matnan Dam that is Me'akev is the first one. Therefore, the Makshevot that come afterwards are meaningless. Both whether they're Pigul or whether they're not Pigul, they're meaningless. And since they're meaningless, then when you had a Makshev Pigul in the first Matana, you have Pigul on your hands. Now it's Pigul V'chayav Karet. So too in the Seifa, they structured it the same way. We have a Machshev Pigul in all the Matanot, and then you have a Chutz Limkamo at the end, but there the Chutz Limkamo will be impactful because every one of the Matanot is Me'akev. But not to indicate to you that if you were silent then it would really be Pigul B'chayav Karet, it also would be Pasul in that case. And the only reason it wrote it that way is just to parallel the case to the case of the Reisha, but not to mean Dayek from it that if it was Shotek, that it would be real Pigul. And the Baal Tosafot raised an issue over here, which is, generally, according to the Chachamim, where we see that you have a machshava only in a chatzi matir, we don't say that it's pasul, but it ain't bokaret. We just say that it is kasher, since your machshava had no bearing on the korban. If you were successful in making it to pigul, that's because you had a machshava about all of the matirim. If you only have a machshava about one of the matirim, or a portion of the matirim, in that case, your machshava is meaningless, and the korban is kasher. Yet in our Gemara, it indicates that it's pasul ve'in bo karet. So how do you resolve that stira? Vishlomar, ta'ada pasle hocha, ayin mishum de'ika l'migzar. The pasul over here is a pasul de'rabanan gzeira atu. Similar to what the Gemara says in Menachot with regards to the Komets and the Levona, even though if you have a machshevet pigul by either one of them, it's not sufficient to make it into a korban that is pigul. Nevertheless, the Chachamim say it is pasul. That's because we find manifestations in other places of a kometz alone by a minchat choteh, and we have manifestation of levona alone by the case of the shnei bazichim from the lechem apanim. So since in those instances that machshev pigul would actually make it into pigul, over here we have that machshev about one of the two, we say it's pasul, even though technically it's kasher midoraita. And similar over here, since by the chatot achitzonot you would have a din of pigul in this instance, over here, we're going to call it pasul and not say that it is kasher. In instances where you have a machshava nachatzi matir that has no bearing anywhere else, for instance, when you're shefting the two simanim, and you have a machshava about one of the two simanim, over there we're going to say it's completely kasher. There's no reason to be goes there. One siman, alto that you have a machshav pigul by two simanim, because that's a totally different case. That's not a case where if you had machshav pigul by this one siman, somewhere else that would be problematic, even though technically maybe by ofot that would be the case. Nevertheless, the Tosafot tries to differentiate between these cases to say when you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, it should be classified as kasher, and where it should be classified as pasul, but even the pasul is only a pasul midrabanan, it's not a pasul midoraito. Alright, we'll stop here by the two dots at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Bet.